It's 11:48 p.m. in Sunspot, New Mexico, and you're listening to Night Call.
Hello, and welcome to Night Call, a podcast for your strange days and lonely nights. Here in Los Angeles, I am Tess Lynch with
Molly Lambert, and joining us in New York is
Emily Yoshida.
Hi, guys.
Hey. Hi.
We're now separated by an entire nation once again.
I'm so sad. It is sad.
You'll be back.
I will literally be back in a month. So
yeah.
We'll have more of that hot live podcast vibe
and
going on.
Also in the astral plane, we meet in the pod,
yeah.
The pod plane.
That's true. I wanted to start off real quick by shouting out a movie. It's so funny how infrequently I talk about movies on this podcast, despite it like taking up the entire rest of my life.
Yeah, did you know you're a film critic?
I forget sometimes. I'm working on it, trying to get the proper amount of takes to officially be considered a film critic. I feel like we should have like Emily's Movie Corner or something. Emily's Movie Corner.
What's the movie in Emily's Movie Corner this week?
We're going to be talking about Mandy.
Mandy.
A movie that I have not reviewed because I am buddies with the co-writer of it, Aaron Stewart, on who has some bad ideas on Twitter. Panos wrote the story. He co-wrote the script with him. So it's like, it's officially Panos' story, but he like, you know, helped make it become a movie.
And what a movie.
What a movie it is. Molly, you watched it. It's available now on demand on iTunes. It's in some theaters. Check your local listings. I think a lot of Alamo Draft Houses.
Yeah, I gotta say that Emily shamed us about watching it on a computer and said, come on, go watch it in a theater, which, you know, she's right. But I definitely looked it up and it was only playing in Santa Monica.
Also, even Nick Cage has acknowledged in a recent interview that it's just really expensive to go to the movies.
You know?
Like he said, he was like, it's $100 all of a sudden. I was like, whoa.
Just sell one of your haunted mansions, Nick Cage. You can afford it. I didn't know it was only in Santa Monica. That's a bummer.
No, I couldn't believe it. And then I was totally like, oh, I'm the person who's looking up where it is in New York. It's like everywhere in New York and like only at the Santa Monica Lemley. So
chainsaw fights are way less big in LA, apparently.
Yeah.
Unless you're very far west.
It seems so counterintuitive to me because I think of so many big like genre fans and people who write about film who are really into like horror stuff.
Maybe they're rolling it out. I don't even know. I watched it. Watching it in my bed, though, was also like a great decision. I watched it in my bed last night at midnight.
With headphones?
No. Just regular.
Did you seriously listen to the Johan Johansson?
His like, last one. It's the last thing
one
he
of
did.
His, I think, I don't know if it's officially his last one.
Oh,
it might have been the last one he actually wrote, but I don't know if
he had a couple come out posthumously.
Okay, okay.
I think there are a couple more.
I saw
more,
also
but yeah.
that, was he the person? Somebody who was involved in the sounds on Mother was also involved in this.
It is an oral and visual, aural and visual delight.
What a testament to it that even from my small screen in my bed, it was great. You know,
yeah,
it was a great midnight movie. I was like, oh, this is the perfect time to watch this. And then I wrote you guys an email because I was like, this is the third week in a row I've watched a super scary movie on Sunday night.
Send you into the week with the shivers.
Send me into Sunday night, Monday morning with not sleeping because movies are scary.
So the movie is kind of, I mean, it's more or less a straightforward revenge film, except stylistically, it's just drawing from, I think, Panos's deep and lifelong love of heavy metal and heavy metal album art specifically. All of the kind of visuals of it, like every single frame feels like it could be an album cover.
Yeah, it feels like it comes from the same universe as heavy metal, the movie.
Yes, 100%.
It's great. Everybody should see it. It is super entertaining and just, you know, Nicolas Cage, great Nicolas Cage performance.
I think it's mostly liked by everybody. And then some people are like, oh, it's a great, ridiculous movie. And I actually think it's like very sad and moving too. Like I think that Nick Cage's performance is kind of legitimately heartbreaking.
It is.
It.
He's got them.
You know they wanted him for the cult leader and he was like, no way, I have to play Red. And then it took like a year and he finally got it.
Well, I like the guy who plays the cult lead. No, I didn't know that. Yeah. Also, good fact, Tess, who hasn't seen the movie yet.
You know what?
That's a really good
fact. I came prepared.
But came prepared. The guy who played the cult leader was also really great. He had a real Buffalo Bill vibe.
Yeah. He's from Vikings, right?
Well, I don't know. I thought of him as like evil Spicoli.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, like real Spicoli is evil Spicoli.
More evil Spicoli.
More evil Spicoli. Fictional evil Spicoli. Yeah. He has this kind of like surfer dude hair look. All the people in the
cult. He's got like the Iggy Pop eye makeup too.
Yeah. But he's a freaky man. And, you know, Nicolas Cage is, I want to say, restrained for much of this movie.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm totally serious.
I only saw the trailer and
it's
still going to
slow burn. No. It takes a long time, you know, but it is like, it made me think about like that thing of people, you know, how like Stephen King hates The Shining because he's like, you know, Jack Nicholson's going to get crazy at some point. And I'm like, yeah, but that's satisfying to wait for that to happen for like an hour and a half, you know, and then there's just...
Well, the first like half or third or so of it, my friend Sohail saw it and texted me afterwards and he's like, the first third is relationship goals. Like, yeah, because it's just Nick Cage and Andrea Riseborough, who plays Mandy, his wife, just chilling out in their forest cabin, like smoking pot and like drawing sea demons and stuff and talking about the planets. And it just seems so chill and beautiful. And so when, you know, when it inevitably falls apart or gets taken away from him.
So the deal
it feels
is that
like a loss.
It's set in 1983, right? And they're like reclusive in the beginning.
Yeah, they're like, they just want to do their own thing in the forest, man.
That's just goals in general, is to like go back to the beginning of our lives and be adults in the
forest. It is one of
the
most
in the forest.
Actually romantic looking relationships I've ever seen on film. Yeah, because they just like sit around and draw like demon horn things together.
And like watch horror movies on TV. And I love the shot where they're just like watching some ridiculous looking movie and
I forget what
it
was,
it, like,
but that's a real movie.
Seriousness. Yeah,
but there's
I'm sure.
also there's a fake commercial in the middle that's directed by the guy who directed Too Many Cooks.
Oh yes, Too Many Cooks.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, Tess just got so now she's gonna watch Mandy.
I'll watch it for sure.
It's called Cheddar
Goblin.
Oh,
and it's like a fake macaroni and cheese commercial, but it like does a really good job of also being like I was like,
fake gremlin.
Is this real? Is this a real commercial? This seems like a commercial I've seen before.
So sieht es auch der Sozialverband.
Today's episode is brought to you by Stamps.com, a company that brings the post office to your home office. So we here at Night Call have just entered the world of merch. We had our first very successful t-shirt run, and now we're looking into doing other kinds of merchandise. So Stamps.com reached out to us about facilitating shipping and just making everything a lot easier so that we can get our merch, get it sent off to our listeners. We're almost there, and it's super nice because it just saves so much time. I know that We have a bunch of friends who have side hustles, whether they're artists or doing podcasting or just making their own stuff that they want to get sent out. And I think one of the most difficult things is trying to coordinate, you know, having a job, having a side hustle, and then still finding the time to take care of logistics and go to the post office and stuff like that. So Stamps.com makes it super, super easy. Whether you're selling podcast swag, if you're on Etsy or Amazon, or even if you have a little brick-and-mortar shop, Stamps.com is open 24/7, and you don't have to bother with a long-term contract, which is really awesome, especially if you're just doing this as kind of a side gig. They'll even send you a free digital scale, which is awesome because you can weigh your packages and print the exact amount of postage. I feel like that, for me, is one of those things that I find, like, paralyzing, even though it should be really easy, is just math. So it's really nice. It feels very professional, even though you're in your own house. And it's super simple. You get access to a wide range of postage options. It's not just stamps, and you save a ton of time. Plus, if you were ever thinking about getting a postage meter, which if you're shipping a bunch of stuff, you probably were, but you won't need one because stamps.com is 50% cheaper. So it's like having a virtual postage meter with no crazy special ink. Stamps.com works with your regular printer, so it's really easy to ship anything from home. Right now, you can use our code NIGHTCALL for this special offer, a 4-week trial and a free digital scale. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type NIGHTCALL. That's stamps.com. Enter NIGHTCALL. I've pitched this before, but I would watch endless movies that were just that, of like people sitting on a sofa watching fake commercials and fake television, and I would just be watching that and nothing would happen.
Well, wasn't that like Grindhouse
Beavis and Butthead?
All the fake trailers? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like a, yeah, feature length Beavis and Butthead. Yeah.
But not the feature length
not
Beavis and Butthead.
No,
what
not
about a movie that's just like all fake YouTube videos strung together?
100% I would watch that. I would go to Santa Monica to watch that.
We just got in the Whitney Biennial with that idea.
Yeah, exactly.
It would be called, "Hey guys."
It would say, sorry, I haven't been posting for a while. That's what they always do. I don't know why.
I've had finals.
That's what all the fall Instagrammers say, because a lot of them are in school, and then they're like, sorry, I haven't been posting that many fall Instagrams because I've had homework.
Homework. Hey guys, speaking of homework, and also people out there who are up late for whatever reason, maybe because of homework, maybe not, can we take a night email?
Yeah, let's take a night email.
Yes.
Okay. This comes from Carly. So, hey Night Call, it's 4 a.m. and I'm so sorry for this mess. It's okay, Carly. I love your podcast so much, and I've had a million thoughts to email you about, but I always mean to and later forget. Or by the time I remember, it's about a topic from a past episode, and I feel like a shithead mentioning it when it's irrelevant now. So I guess my random thought I've had at 3 a.m. for the past week is that Molly has a doppelganger that I'm aware of, and it's Abby Russell, with a link to Abby Russell's handle. She's internet weird in my ideal way, like Molly or Darcy. Also, please have Darcy on again all the time. Where is her podcast? Darcy, you're
guys,
invited
on. Guys, Darcy has a podcast.
What's her podcast?
It's called DSA, which has nothing to do with the Democratic Socialists. It stands for, I think, Darcy, Sean, and Andrew.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So on brand, I feel like.
Yeah, listen to Darcy's podcast. We love Darcy. Darcy's a genius.
She is.
Go on.
So, but yeah, you're both super cool, and I don't want to imply she's like your lost twin or anything, but you both reminded me of the other. That's all. Sorry. And then she says, we don't have to read this on the air, but we just did. So, doppelgangers.
Well, first off, I want to get out of the way for Carly. Our podcast is a flat circle. And like, do not be afraid to email us or call us about any topic that we've ever discussed, even if it's like from like 8 years ago, if we've been doing the podcast
all
that
topics
long,
are
can't tell.
It's all topics are in the ether at all times.
Exactly.
Yes, all fair game. So please send us everything. But okay, I'm looking up this girl now.
I looked her up. What do you think?
Yeah, totally.
She is Molly's
doppelganger. She does. She does kind of look like me.
She's making the same face in photos that you make, and she also has the same jackets that you have.
When she does what I like to call the Molly Lambert Tumblr expression, which is kind of like a head tilted back type badass.
The Marley Guthrie.
It's very spot on. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny when somebody tells you that someone is your doppelganger and then you're like, well, what does that mean? The first post I ever wrote, maybe for this recording, one of the first posts I ever wrote on the internet was about how some friends of mine were like, hey, there's this comedian who totally reminds us of you exactly. And I was like, what does that mean? What am I like? And then it was Morgan Murphy.
Ha!
And I was like, oh my God, totally. And then I was like, wait, am I a type of person? Like, is... like stoner redhead with like a deadpan, like just a type, and we're all like this type. I posted about it, and then I was like, is that weird? Is Morgan gonna like find this and think it's super weird?
Have you ever met
Did
Morgan?
She?
I have met Morgan. Yeah, she's great. She's the reason nobody would ever actually mistake us for each other is she is super tall.
I was just going to say she looks really tall.
She's
like
real
a foot taller than you or something.
Yeah, we have differences. She's tall. She loves baseball. There are things. I think she's funny, though, and great. And I was, like, flattered that they thought that. But I was also, like, very, like, what is my personality, like, from the outside? Have you guys had doppelgangers that people thought were you?
I feel like no. I think it must be an interesting feeling, kind of like having a sibling, I guess, too, where you can, like, look at somebody and say, oh, you come from the same dream pool as me, even though a doppelganger is a little more eerie than that, I think. But I've never really had that experience. The only person I've ever been really compared to at all is Bjork, and I take it as a huge compliment, but we don't really actually look that much alike.
I had a doppelganger. It may be one doppelganger. It may be multiple doppelgangers, but there's one who lives in my, like, general neighborhood, and people are often, like, texting me that they saw me at the grocery store where I always am, but it's not me. It's the other person.
Ooh,
she goes to different grocery
weird.
Stores. Yes. And then someone sent me a picture, I think from the last bookstore, and Molly and I did a reading at the last bookstore like a year and a half ago or something, and someone took a picture of this other girl in the background of a photo at the last bookstore, but on a different day than the one we'd been there, and was like, look, there you are at the last bookstore. And it looked so much like me that I was like, is that me?
That there was some photo on the internet once that I, like, stared at it for so long because I didn't know if it was me or not.
Yes, it's such a weird feeling where you're like, almost, because sometimes you see a picture of yourself and it doesn't look like you. So it opens the possibility.
Well, no,
that, like,
photo really looks like you. That's the whole thing about photos, is that everybody can look so many different ways. It makes you be like...
Whoa. Or, like, from one angle, you look totally different, and it kind of shakes your foundation.
I think everybody is like that Seinfeld episode about the girl who, like, looks completely different.
Has the Two-Face.
The Two-Face girl.
Two-Faced girl.
I relate to that, because I'm always like, doesn't everybody look, like, good sometimes and, like, horrible sometimes, depending on, like, lighting and situations?
It's also, like, when you see people who have wet hair and they look totally different. For a long time, I really didn't like anyone with wet hair, including myself.
The deal breaker.
It was
also
a deal breaker.
No wet hair.
Now that I've seen Celeb Face, I mean, trust nothing.
Yep.
Celeb Face has been posting a lot of really spooky edits recently that involve people just, like, shaving, like, the smallest amount off their waist that you would never notice, but you realize that every famous hot girl on Instagram is, like, photoshopping her waist to be just, like, tiny. It's so weird. Everything is so weird.
Anything I finally got, it took me forever to get accepted by Celeb Face.
You got in, though.
I finally got let in, and now I can see all the secrets. And I mean, I feel like sometimes I'm confused about what I'm supposed to take away from Celeb Face, I have to say. Well, I don't know. If anybody has an experience with a doppelganger, we'd love to hear about it. Or if you ever became friends with your doppelganger, or if you discovered that you were actually twins separated at birth, or cousins.
I become friends with all my doppelgangers.
Well, isn't that nice for you?
Form an army.
Well, lucky you.
Army of me, guys. Tying it all back together.
Have you guys seen Three Identical
Strangers? I was just going to say,
no.
I'm dying to see Three Identical. Do you know about it, Molly?
I know about it, yes.
Oh, documentary about triplets that were separated at birth and found out about each other's
maybe
existence
later. That should be a future movie corner. I watched the first, like, two-thirds of it on a plane, and I haven't seen the ending, and I don't know if anything else crazy happens. So I'm kind of in suspense. I would finish it up later for sure. Maybe we can check that out later.
Today's episode of Night Call is brought to you by FabFitFun, a seasonal subscription box featuring full-size beauty, fashion, and fitness items. I know a ton of people with birthdays in September, including our own Molly Lambert. So I was looking at gifts for our birthdays. I also have a baby shower coming up, and that's why FabFitFun is really great. It's delivered four times a year for $49.99, and there's something for everyone. Each box has the perfect mix of luxurious and practical products. So Molly, you were the first to receive your box and you just got to open it. What do you think?
Oh, it was great. It is the fall box and it has the fall edit of products and there are little pumpkin spice drawings all over it that are very cute. The fall box includes in every box the Glam Glow bubble sheet mask, and there are two of those, and I use that one already. It's really fun. It's like foams up on your face while you're putting it on. There's a beauty blender and a simply whimsical set of two tea towels and then a Skin & Co. Roma Blue Capri shower gel. I love all the shower gels always. Anything for the bath, I'm always really excited about. And a random selection of products where you get one of the products from a couple of choices. I got a Crown Brush 6-piece brush set in silver or black of makeup brushes, which is great because makeup brushes are something I've totally been interested in, but wouldn't have maybe gone out and got for myself, but just getting a whole set was really cool.
Did you get a teapot or a French?
I got a French press. Yeah.
Okay, nice. Also, during our live event, I noticed that each of us brought a bunch of the stuff from our summer box with us, and Emily thought that she'd left hers at the event, and so she texted us afterwards in a panic, because I feel like we've all just used the items, like, you know, they're full size, which is really great, they're not trials, which you kind of like, trial sizes I always kind of like relegate to a drawer, but these are all full size products, and I would say that like most of the stuff in each of our boxes I've ended up using.
Yeah, we end up using all the stuff. And then we were like, oh, look, we all have the same makeup bag. And it was because we all got the FabFitFun bag.
Also, there are items that are much more expensive than the box. Like, I think in this one, the Vince Camuto tote retails for $128. And the value of the whole box is over $275, which is a really good deal because it's $49.99 a box. Or you can get $10 off if you use our code. So it's $39.99 for over $275 worth of items. So, sign up for FabFitFun today to get your fall box. The FabFitFun fall box is in limited supply, and these boxes always sell out. Use our code NIGHTCALL to get $10 off your first box. Go to FabFitFun.com to sign up and start getting the box for a life well lived. Use promo code NIGHTCALL to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 for only $39.99. Again, go to FabFitFun.com, use our code NIGHTCALL, and get $10 off your first FabFitFun box. Well, speaking about secrets, you guys, we were alerted to the fact that a New Mexico observatory had shut down mysteriously a couple of weeks ago on the Night Call Facebook. Basically, there's been an update in this, but we wanted to have a brief chat because it's mysterious, and we like mysterious things. So the National Solar Observatory in Sunspot, New Mexico, which is run by the Association of Universities for Research in Astronomy, or AURA, was shut down and evacuated, and then the FBI got involved. And so everybody was like trying to find information and they didn't find any. So they assumed that an alien had been spotted in a telescope. That was one conspiracy theory. There were a lot of other ones. So the FBI wasn't like giving any information even to local law enforcement, and everybody was in the dark about it. And the fact that they like got involved so quickly was weirding everybody out. So the director of the observatory, whose name is James McAteer, issued a statement that, first of all, he was like, there's no way that the telescope caught an alien, because if there are aliens, they're probably microscopic. And so the distance is too great, whatever.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? They're just bacteria. Oh, we have our hopes up, but it's just bacteria. But then
slime.
Yesterday, so for listeners, a week ago, another statement came from AURA, which reads in part, AURA has been cooperating with an ongoing law enforcement investigation of criminal activity that occurred at Sacramento Peak. During this time, we became concerned that a suspect in the investigation potentially posed a threat to the safety of local staff and residents. For this reason, AURA temporarily vacated the facility and ceased science activities at this location. Which is so vague. If you're trying to put people at ease and be like, nothing creepy or weird is happening here.
So a terrorist was working at the
Or it sounds like maybe like AURA. A disgruntled employee.
We don't know.
We don't know.
You think they'd
say. Well, here's the thing. This happened like the same week that they found, what? I'm looking this up now. 72 signals. From an alien galaxy.
Yes.
Oh. 3 billion light years away. And I had originally conflated these two news stories because I thought that they found the signals and then shut down the facility. I was like, oh my God, guys, this is it. It's happening.
I like that so much better than what really happened.
So they have
better.
Nothing to do with each other at all.
Like, but, oh, they shut it down because they were like, we achieved our goal, the end.
Yeah, we're done. Mission accomplished. No, but this is like, this one was at the Green Bay Telescope. So it's like a completely different place.
Wow.
But I still got very excited about it.
Well, I mean, they're not related. All these things are happening in outer space.
Also, I think it's super weird because if it were just a disgruntled employee or somebody, you know, like a pretty basic crime, then it would have been handled by law enforcement, right? Instead of going to the FBI.
What if there was like a bomb involved or something? Sorry for being the skeptic and not just saying it was obviously aliens.
No, I mean, it's like interesting because I guess like perhaps the FBI could have gotten involved that quickly if it was a bomb.
Or just like a Russian spy or something. Like, who knows?
Who cares about sunspots?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that it's in a place called Sunspot, New Mexico. Mm-hmm. Also, future Night Call commune location.
I'm like a little nervous about New Mexico in general. You guys are way more open to the New Mexico
way of life. Oh, you're afraid of the desert.
I'm terrified of the desert.
Tess is afraid of the desert, which I respect.
We've talked about this before. Yeah. I'm very afraid of the desert.
I'm also afraid of the desert because I respect it. It's like the ocean. You're like, it's so big.
And it's the opposite of the ocean, actually.
Well, they're
just as hostile to human life.
I find their hostility welcoming because it's like... It's reassuring to be.
You wouldn't want to be a part of a club that would have you as a member.
No, it's just like reassuring. It's reassuring to be like, there are things so much like bigger land. Than humans and bigger than me. I like that. Yeah. That's what's cool about outer space, too.
I just don't like feeling dry is like really what it comes down
to. No, that's the main thing is not wanting to be dry. But I went to New Mexico a year ago. And I was totally like shocked because there was rain because it's high up.
Oh, yeah.
There's like rain and snow in Santa Fe.
But just like in Tucson, it like, well, unlike, I guess it's hot in Tucson, but it's like you get the rain where it's like very sudden, dramatic rain. And then 10 seconds later, it's gone, right?
But we live in Los Angeles, which is super hot and dry and it never rains.
And you can pretend that it's not the desert, which
I
totally do.
Well, it's not the desert. It is a savanna.
And it's also several ecosystems connected. Another thing from the Facebook Night Call is...
thank you for posting on the Facebook Night Call.
Oh, I love... Honestly, the Night Callers group is like a pretty amazing group of
people. It's the organism from space.
I was nervous. I've never moderated a group before. And I was like, oh, what if everyone's like mean? I belong to many groups. And
no,
there's like fights.
Our fans are so cool.
Yeah, our fans are
just
cool.
Yeah, we cannot reiterate enough how cool all of the Night Call listeners are from our brief sampling of them.
Yeah. They're awesome.
And it was also cool that it was like a lot of different types of people. I was like, oh, there's no one. Like, they're not all doppelgangers of us.
No.
It was great.
They're very not all chill. Molly types.
Exactly. Someone posted about the gray man in advance of Hurricane Florence, which, by the way, if you're in the Carolinas, we're thinking of you and hoping that you're okay. But somebody was like, hey, have you guys heard about the gray man? And I feel like this was actually a couple of weeks ago, so it was before Florence was, you know, had grown to the size that it was predicted to be. But the gray man is a ghost that supposedly appears on the coast of Pawleys Island in South Carolina just before a big storm or a hurricane hits. And I guess he's been popping up since 1822, but he was just sighted before Hurricane Florence hit. If you want to look at YouTube footage of the tiny blurry thing that is supposedly the gray man. He's been caught on tape. But according to...
Oh, I thought like caught in a cage.
No, he's not. They haven't got him. It's hard to do. He can move through walls. According to people on Pawleys Island, his main point, like the reason he exists is just to like be benevolent and just warn people about storms. And if you see him, your house will be spared, legend says. His appearance is like he's a see-through guy, as they all are, and he's wearing a cloak, as they all are. And he's been spotted before hurricanes Hazel and Hugo. Like, it's a big, there's stuff in the Georgetown Museum about him, and you can like find a bunch of articles about him. But anyway, they think that who he was when he was alive, like one of the possible legends of him is that he was a sailor who was coming back to his fiance. And then it's like there's divergent points of either like his fiance screwed him over and he jumped into a, you know, into the sea, or he was on his way back to see her on horseback and he got sucked into quicksand with the horse. And then she the next day discovered his body and was heartbroken and crying. And then a hurricane hit and her house was like the only one that was spared.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That reminded me that I also had a weather ghost story, and that I heard a weather ghost story and then found out there was a Weather Channel show. I think it's called like Supernatural Weather or something. But it was a 5-episode show from the Weather Channel, got into the original content game. And it was like just different, a whole show about like a legend, a ghost story involving weather. And that was how I found out about Devil's Gate and the Jack Parsons thing. Was because they're one of the episodes was about that.
Well, tell us briefly about that in case anyone listening doesn't know.
I think we've talked about it before on this, but there is a spooky place in Pasadena that is right by Jet Propulsion Labs. That the reason they put Jet Propulsion Labs there is because they would go test rockets in this canyon, the Arroyo. And there's just a lot of creepy things about it. It's super haunted for many reasons. Somebody killed a bunch of kids around there and then ground them up and put them in the freeways.
No.
So in the 50s. So it's just
Well, it was a 50s.
Yeah,
it
like
was
a different. Well, don't worry, it was in the 50s.
Well, they were building the freeways then.
Yeah. What were they supposed to build them out of?
But I also, my personal weather ghost story that I just was reading about, I brought some research today too, is that good. I went on a swamp tour in Louisiana where they told us this story about how there was a voodoo priestess who lived there and would sit on her front porch and sing songs. And one of her songs that she sang was, "When I die, I'm going to take the whole town with me." And that then she died. And then there was a storm and the town was buried.
Whoa.
The town sank into the thing. Whoa. So I looked up the story to see if, you know, there was any truth to it. And apparently, sort of, but her name was Julia Brown. And there are a bunch of historic documents that kind of testify to the fact that she existed and was a real person and practiced voodoo. And the twist is that she was like, she was good. And she was probably the midwife of the town. And so they were like, people misinterpreted her message. She wasn't like putting a curse on the town. She was just sort of like stating facts.
Yeah.
Like maybe she knew because she was psychic what was going to happen.
So not so much like I'm taking the whole town with me as like when I die, the whole town's just going to be buried.
She didn't cause it. She just knew that something crazy was going to
happen. Yeah. She was like the town doctor and healer probably also. Uh-huh. So probably also the town wasn't going to function.
When was this?
Apparently, this was like 1915. There was a newspaper account from the New Orleans Times-Picayune. Anyway, yeah, weather ghosts.
I love weather ghosts.
Supernatural weather stories I do love because weather is scary. Another big scary thing you can't predict.
I know.
Well, this isn't a ghost, but there was a second where people were saying, and of course it was completely a hoax, but the possibility was out there for a second that there could be a real-life Sharknado situation on our hands with Florence. Just because it's shark season, guys.
What does a real-life Sharknado entail?
It would be a big several concerns over several of the things that could be swept up by Florence. Like a storm of that magnitude going over that part of the country. So, you know, I think that there tend to be more sharks in late summer than early fall, I guess, around the Carolinas. I don't think that it's possible for there to be a Sharknado, but people were speculating. And then there's also like a bunch of pig manure farms. In
North
Carolina,
I did see that, and
which
was like,
would have been a bummer.
I did not realize a Sharknado. I never thought about the scientific underpinnings of a Sharknado until right now.
Why not? How could you not?
Now, what else have you been thinking about?
So much ink has been spilled about the possibility of a real Sharknado. I remember when the Weather Channel like really tried to like expand its programming, and it was not super successful. I
right,
believe.
But you were like, I'll watch 100 shows about weather.
I was there for it. But alternate position, though. I have a hard time with making entertainment out of, like, these disasters. There's something that feels very, I don't know, like, explicitly right-wing about it, but it feels like, it's like it brings out everybody's inner prepper.
Yeah.
To have like a huge disaster.
Well, it is explicitly right wing because, like, if you look at Katrina, obviously. Like, they use the fact that there's like a big disaster to fuck up a bunch more shit. You know what? It's all like the purge. It's all like rich people can get out of it
sure.
and everybody
yes,
else
exactly.
is left to deal.
But also the whole activity of gearing up for it, it's like a weird kind of like apolitical war, like a very like militaristic scenario where it's like, let's send in our troops to go fight the weather
right,
army
fight the,
or something.
Shoot bullets. I think the NRA, the NRA on Twitter, I think had something about like how important it was to arm yourself during the hurricane as if like you could prevent the hurricane by firing
yeah.
a gun at it. But I also think that it's
scared.
Like, there is like a right wing kind of overtone to it. But at the same time, like, I think it, you know, acknowledging climate change is a left wing thing. So in a way, like, I think there was a video that I forget what weather station posted when they were talking about the water levels for Florence. And they used mm-hmm. a green screen and positioned the weather person in front of like a rising, you know, it looked like she was kind of submerged in this water to show what 9 feet of water looks like. And I don't think it was borne out by the storm itself, but I think that a lot of, you know, when people are commenting on weather like this, like they're, for me at least, like the underlying message is like, look at climate change, which doesn't seem right wing. But I mean, I'm just like fascinated by weather because we don't have much of it and I miss it. But it also I also like fear and respect it.
Hey, we have weather.
We
it's
don't.
It's just
dude.
Different.
But we don't really we don't have weather events.
The fires are our weather event. The fires are our hurricanes.
I hate the yeah. fires.
Yeah, me too. But I'm
nothing.
Also
so you
hurricanes.
So you admit there is weather.
Too. Okay, okay.
It's just
weather.
Not your favorite weather.
Yeah, it's just shitty weather. To be, I mean, it's great weather. And then it's like when there's a big event, it's like
do
not
you miss
fun weather.
Snowstorms.
In a way, I miss snowstorms when I lived in a city. When I lived in a rural area, snowstorms were...
they can be kind of scary.
Yeah, they're scary, and I find them deeply depressing just because it limits your resources so much.
It makes you understand how Stephen King wrote all those books.
Exactly.
Just all holed up in that cabin. No, I was always so jealous of snow, obviously, and I had so many fantasies about how great it would be to live in a cold place, and then I never understood until I finally did that it was like, oh, it can like stop you from going outside.
That's the thing. It's not healthy. It's
you can be
but it's
trapped
like sometimes
in your
you
house.
Really need that excuse.
Yep.
Sometimes you're so grateful to just have to stay in for 2 days or something.
Right. Okay, but
it's fun for 2 days and then.
And then it goes on and on. That's the thing is that you know, if you're lucky enough to have like a warm shelter and enough food and power and stuff, it's like, wee. And then it gets boring, but then it's so inhospitable to life that it's also like deeply depressing.
Yeah, I always thought that seemed like fun and cozy. And then I was like, oh, when you like literally can't go outside, it's
yeah.
different than when you're like choosing not to go outside.
Exactly.
There was a freak snowstorm in Washington when I lived there that put out the power for I feel like a week, and almost the entire town was out without power, and a tree fell on our house.
Oh,
what?
I remember all I remember about this is like, well, there was one restaurant, a Sherry's, that had a generator, so people would go there, and I learned how to play poker during that time because there was nothing to do. Have you guys ever been in a tornado?
No.
See,
oh.
Now I want to have you ever, but with weather.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? I drove through a sandstorm.
Well, we've all been in a sandstorm, really, if that's what you're talking about.
No, it was on the way to Vegas when I was going to interview superstar DJ Martin Garrix. And I was like, sandstorm, it's like a portent because trance.
Right? Yes.
Trance is alive. But it was so scary. And I was like, yeah. I don't know what to do. Like, other people like you're supposed to pull over and wait for it to be over. But nobody mm-hmm. was doing that. Everybody was just
we gotta go to Vegas.
Yeah, everyone. It was like truckers and stuff. Yeah. So everybody was just like continuing to drive through it. And then I got this like alert on my phone I'd never seen before that was like weather alert, sandstorm. It was terrifying. I mean, it's weird because the sky turns like a different color.
You know? No, thank you. I don't want that.
Very apocalyptic.
Unsubscribe.
Brown. Everything becomes brown.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of amazing that things like that can happen.
I'm very interested mm-hmm. in lightning because when I was a kid, I went to...
Because you were Benjamin Franklin?
Yes. I went to a carnival with a friend of mine and her mom took us and her mom was 9 months pregnant. And while we were at the carnival, there was like a power outage and the generator broke and we were stuck at the top of a Ferris wheel in the middle of this horrible storm and they had to like manually crank us down. And then on the way back to my house, being very nervous that the mom was going to go into labor because she was like, ha ha, what if I went into labor? Oh, it's such a disaster right now in this big storm. And we were like, we tried to get into like, you know, to turn into my parents' driveway and like a power line or something. And it had been hit by lightning close by. And there was like a like giant line of fire that they were extinguishing. And I was like, whoa, lightning. And then recently one of
like
my
the
relatives.
Ice storm.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Mm-hmm. Their Prius was struck by lightning. Oh. And when they took it to get repaired, the repair guy was like, oh, yeah, we see a lot of Priuses struck by lightning.
What?
I have not verified this information.
Is it because
but
of
I was
the
like,
battery?
Huh, no clue.
Or...
lightning is terrifying. I mean, I saw a really amazing lightning storm in New Mexico, bringing it all back home. Last year. That was like the most amazing thing I'd ever seen because, again, like we don't have a ton of storms out here. And it was like one of those storms that just like all of a sudden this big bank of clouds sweeps in. And then it was just like thunderstorming with this crazy lightning over the Rio Grande.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, Rio Grande.
It's nice when you're in those big open spaces because you can really like see it.
No, it was crazy.
You can see the movement of it.
We were at like a historic site, like a historic Pueblo site. And it was just like, yeah, it's just so vast.
Nature putting on the Ritz.
Yeah. It put on the Ritz for me.
Dazzled you.
It was very like a spiritual experience. I was like, it's crazy that this exists,
yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
And I exist. That's why weather can be cool. Tess and I love rain.
Emily probably loves rain too. Do you, Emily?
Oh yeah, I love rain.
You seem like a rainy gal like us.
Well,
oh my
know,
god, are you kidding me?
She's from-
no. I grew up in Seattle,
yeah,
motherfucker.
She does not like rain.
But you survived it. Doesn't that make you feel
no,
like one with the rain?
I never need to be in another wet place again, I have to say. I'm not into the dampness.
No, give me that wet. We've had mosquitoes here this year, too, though. It's been...
A new strain of mosquito called, apparently, the ninja mosquito is here.
Wow, that sounds not at all like apocalyptic. And
no,
bad.
Right? I know. Oh, we have, like, a bunch of new kinds of mosquitoes, and some of them carry West Nile, so it's been
chill. There's those signs at the playground mm-hmm. in Griffith Park that I saw. It's, like, a children's playground that... I think you have taken your kids to, and there's that big sign that's like, P.S. West Nile virus everywhere.
Yep. You're not supposed to leave out any standing water because I think it's like the eggs get laid and hatch within a day. This should have a trigger warning. Some people don't like
it. I'll be the first to go. I get bitten anywhere.
We all got that sweet blood.
I think it's less. I think everyone supposedly gets bit roughly the same. It's how you react, maybe. It's like how allergic you are to it.
I feel like some people get avoided and I always get all of it.
I've gone out like for 5 minutes to take some trash out in Los Angeles and come back with like two mosquito bites. It just happens to me. Hey, it's fall. It's time for spooky weather.
Yeah.
And we're about to enter Spooktober and weather is just as much of a haunt as any other. So.
It's nice today in Los Angeles.
If you have thoughts about weather or anything else, please give us a call at 240-46-NIGHT or you can email us at nightcallpodcast@gmail.com.
Weather, mayonnaise, gray men, sunspots.
Weather or not.
Mosquitoes. Ninja mosquitoes.
Nicolas Cage.
Also... Please leave us a rating and a review if you've got the time on iTunes. It helps more people find our show, and we really appreciate it. Many ways that you can help Night Call be the best Night Call it can be.
And thanks for listening.
See you next week.
Bye.